Wanted to follow up on the shiur that we began yesterday. Again, for those who may not have been here, we spoke about somebody who wanted to make a cake with writing on it, and they were wondering about how that's going to play out on Shabbos. So we spoke yesterday about the Mordechai that is quoted by the Ramah, that the same way we have a malacha of mochek on Shabbos, of erasing, this would be a subcategory of erasing, because when you cut into the cake and you're splitting up the word that says happy birthday or whatever it might be, that would be a potential issue. So somebody here who was at our shir yesterday raised a very important question, and that is, do you mean to say that the same way there's a prohibition of mochek, of erasing, when you cut a cake that has words on it, does that mean that if you have a lotus cracker that has the word lotus on it, or you have some other kind of food that has words on it, as I'm eating it, I'm also in violation of the malacha of mochek on Shabbos? Do I have to be careful about the food items that I consume, that maybe there's wording on it, and as I eat it, I'm destroying something? And I said the answer is absolutely not. Again, because yesterday I mentioned that when you have a non-Jew, absolutely not means absolutely not a problem. That's what I'm going to explain. Not that you're absolutely not allowed to do it. So, again, I mentioned yesterday, and this is what spurred the question, that the OU was asked, what should the policy be when you have a family making a simcha, and they pay a lot of money to have a beautiful cake made, and then it turns out that they're not even allowed to use it? And my father had laid down the rule that the OU policy is that they should not dispose of such a cake, they should not get rid of it, they should just bring it into the kitchen, have the non-Jew cut it up, and then serve it. So this person asked me yesterday, what does it help that you have a non-Jew cutting it up? There are still letters that are going to be consumed by the Jewish participants, and that means I'm still in violation of the malacha of mochek on Shabbos. So that's what I want to discuss today. And something very important that we need to understand is the Dagel Mervava, which is written by the Nodeb Yehuda, writes there in Simon Shin Mem, that there's a difference between a malacha, when the Torah says, lo sasa kol malacha, you're not allowed to do some kind of prohibited activity. That is what we say is not allowed on Shabbos. On the other hand, if somebody is doing an activity that is derech achila, this is the way that I normally eat. So the Dagel Mervava writes, you cannot define that as a malacha. I'm not involved in a malacha per se. I'm involved in the act of eating. Just so happens to be that while I'm eating, this is the result. But right now, you cannot categorize what I'm doing right now as a malacha. And therefore, the Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa writes, following in the footsteps of the Nodeb Yehuda and many others, he says, Divrei Mafe, let's say I have something that is baked from the bakery. And on it, it has osios otsiurim. On this bakery cookie or whatever it might be, it has some kind of letters or words. He says, mutter la'achlam, there would be no reason to hold back from eating such things on Shabbos, because even though I am destroying the letters, I'm cutting it up, and it's no longer going to be what it once was, and the beautiful picture that it once represented is no longer going to be here, that is not a problem, because you look at the act that's being done, and you cannot classify that as a malacha. That, by all standards, would be considered derech achila. That is the normal way that somebody would do it. So there's two reasons why this is permissible. And the general reason that most assume is because derech achila is not going to be classified as a malacha, which led me to think about that in general. What would we say by any other of the 39 malachos on Shabbos, if a person would violate them derech achila, would that relieve them of the malacha itself? So you're asking, where does this ever come up? I'll give you an example. Let's say when we have the malacha of bishul on Shabbos. So what exactly does it mean, bishul b'Shabbos? So normally, bishul means you take water, you fill up a pot, you put it onto the fire, and you cook it. That's clear. That we know is, lo sivaru esh b'chol mosh v'seichem yom ha-Shabbos. You're not allowed to light the fire, you're not allowed to cook on it, and if you do that, that would be considered a prohibition of bishul. That we all know. What about when it's a little bit of a gray area? What if I have something that already has been cooked, and now I put it back onto the fire to heat it up again? Well, that's not called bishul. I'm not actually changing the status of this. It used to be raw, and now it's cooked. It's already cooked. So there, the Gemara says clearly, ein bishul achar bishul. If I have a piece of chicken, like the Gemara writes, that was already cooked before Shabbos, and now I put it back onto a flame to heat it up on Shabbos itself, technically there is no bishul involved because the cooking process already has been done and nothing is changing. But says the Rambam, the law that prohibits us from violating bishul on Shabbos is not only limited to food items. The Rambam says one has to know that when we talk about bishul, it would even apply when you're heating something up and changing its texture. So for example, the Rambam says, let's say I take a piece of metal obviously nobody's going to eat the metal. But I take a piece of metal and I heat it up to the point that it's now going to be able to be bent, whatever you call that, malleable. So now I take it and it's going to be bent. Or I take a piece of metal and I heat it up now that it's burning red, it's red hot. It changes its consistency or it changes its texture or it changes its color just by indication of how much cooking has been done, says the Rambam. That will be a prohibition of Bishul B'Shabbos. That will be the same, even though it's not food. So now the discussion that was had by many, many great Gedolim, one of them was most prominently the Sholem Eshev. Sholem Eshev was Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzen, one of the great Gedolim in Europe. He says, what happens if on Shabbos morning I take bread, and I prefer that the bread should be a little toasty, it should be a little hot. So I take bread that was all baked and cooked before Shabbos, and now I put it onto the blech, and it gets a little toasty. Now it turns a little bit crusty, and that's the way I like to eat it. Would that be a problem of bishul on Shabbos? After all, we know that the rule is ein bishul achar bishul. Once it's already been baked or cooked, there is no prohibition of bishul again. The process has been changed. However, when you're doing this, and now you're taking something that was soft and making it hard, maybe that should be the same as metal that was taken from being soft to now become hard. That is the question that the Sholem Eshev discusses. You're making a very controversial point right now. It's not so clear that it only applies to solids. A good question. A very good question. But let's just take simple case, right? We'll talk about the complications another day, but simple case is dry piece of chicken, like the Gemara says, there would be no problem. So over here, the Sholem Eshev writes, you wouldn't be allowed to take bread and put it on the fire and make it into toast when you know that you're changing the consistency from being something soft to being something hard, because that is the same as the example the Rambam gives of taking a piece of metal that was once hard and making it soft, or soft and now making it hard. That is the opinion of the Sholem Eshev. On the other hand, there were many who disagreed. And this disagreement was put forth by the Maharsham. The Maharsham was one of the other great Gedolim in Europe. All of our phones are going to have the same thing, so don't stare at him. So the Maharsham writes that he didn't agree. And the Maharsham says that he doesn't think that that is a problem at all. When the Rambam says that doing something like that is called bishul, from changing something from being one texture to another, that Rambam was only limited to the case of metal. When you're talking about achila, and you now want to change the bread that's already baked, it's already cooked, it's just that I enjoy it a little bit more, says the Maharsham and many others, the Mishneh Berurah accepts this lahalacha from what I understand, in Siman Shin Yud Ches, you can look it up, that would not be a problem because that is derech achila. That's the normal way that a person eats. When you're about to eat a piece of bread, you heat it up for a few minutes and then you eat it. It's not a problem. That's not called bishul. When you ask somebody, what am I doing right now by putting this piece of bread on the fire? Nobody would say you're cooking the piece of bread or you're baking it. Everybody would agree that's just the normal way that people eat. Take for another example, that would be the following. We have a malach on Shabbos of bonet. You're not allowed to build on Shabbos. Why are you not allowed to build on Shabbos? Because in the days of the Mishkan, they had to construct the Mishkan. They had to build. And therefore, since you weren't allowed to do that, since that's what was required in the days of the Mishkan, that is where we learn all the prohibitions for Shabbos itself, and you're not allowed to build on Shabbos today. Okay, what is considered building? What's not building? A whole question, but the following case is discussed in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that when I have a situation of making cheese, now I happen not to be in the cheese-making business, so I don't know exactly how it works, but the way that it's described is, you have a whole bunch of sediments that are together, and then you have to collect all of them, and somehow they dry them out, and then once they're dry and stuck together, that is how you make the cheese. Is that a very layman's explanation of how cheese is made? We're all on the same page. Okay. So there, the Rambam says, one would not be allowed to make cheese on Shabbos. Obviously, it's a more complicated process. But for the most part, the Rambam says, you take this piece, and that piece, and the third piece, and 100 other pieces together, then you squash them into one solid, and you make that into a piece of cheese, says the Rambam. That would be bonet. That would be a problem of bonet on Shabbos because you are building, you're collecting a bunch of different items and making one final product out of it. That would be a prohibition of bonet b'Shabbos. If that's true, the problem is, how do I take a piece of cheese on Shabbos and bite into it? If we have a malach of bonet, that means that it should be soser. The same way you're not allowed to build on Shabbos, it says you're not allowed to destroy anything on Shabbos. So if I have a building and I go start taking bricks out of the building on Shabbos, that would be soser. That's a destructive process, taking away from the binyan that was made. So the question that is asked by many is, if I'm not allowed to make cheese on Shabbos, does that mean that I'm also not allowed to eat cheese on Shabbos? Because if I eat it, that means that I'm violating the malacha of soser. And if I cut a slice of cheese for my child who can't eat such a big slice, and I cut a little piece off and I put it onto his plate, would that be a problem of soser? And the answer the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa writes is no. Your logic makes a lot of sense. If it's bona to make the cheese, it should be soser to eat the cheese because you're taking it apart from something that was one entity. However, he says, chituch hagvina nikra derech achila velo derech melacha. Says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, when you look at this in the overall perspective, that is not called achila. I'm sorry, that is not called a malacha. Anybody who sees you doing something right now says what you're doing is you're eating. Nobody thinks twice about it. That's not called a malacha, and therefore he says that would not be a problem that we have to worry about at all. One final example that we'll talk about, there are so many ways to go with this, but it just reminded me of that, and that is the Shulchan Aruch says, what if you have a woman who's nursing her child? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, and let's say the child is not going to be in need of eating right now, but the woman wants to express the milk in order to have it later on. So the Shulchan Aruch says that would not be permissible. Lo tekel isha chalav midader l'toch hakos. A woman is not allowed to express milk in order to use it later on. Why? Because that would be some kind of prohibition on Shabbos. What is the prohibition? What is the malacha? So the Shulchan Aruch explains that's called mefarik. Mefarik means, mefarik told of the dush. Dush means you're not allowed to separate two things that were together. So here you had milk that was contained inside of a body, and now you're separating it from the body. Therefore, we would assume that is called a malacha of mefarik. So the question that is asked is, the Bir Halacha, which is written by the Mishnah Berurah, writes on the side of the page of Shulchan Aruch there, Simen Shin Chav Ches, I don't understand. If you're telling me that a woman is not allowed to express milk by hand on Shabbos to save for later, how is a child able to drink the milk on Shabbos? Isn't that a problem? The child is doing a malacha, so you'll say, what do you mean? The kid is 3 months old, he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, you're right. But the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Kuf Yudalid that the same way I'm not allowed to violate any Aveira in the Torah, so too I'm not allowed to facilitate my child to violate any Aveira in the Torah. So how can I allow a child to nurse on Shabbos when I know that they are going to violate a malacha? Doesn't matter how old or young they are. That's the question that the Bir Halacha asks. So you'll tell me, well, the kid doesn't have anything else to drink, so it's Bikuach Nefesh, of course that's allowed. That may have been true 100 years ago, but now that we all have formula, and for most children, there's no real problem for them to have formula. If they would skip a few meals over a Shabbos from the regular natural milk and they would use formula, they would be okay. So what is the allowance for us to have this young child drink the milk on Shabbos when we know that by doing so, by extracting it, they will be in violation of the malacha of mefarik? So the Yarsam Meach has a whole discussion about it. He tries to explain, and the Bir Halacha there goes along with it, and he tries to explain why it is that this would be permissible. The Chazon Ish has a whole discussion about this. Everyone gets involved. Rav Asher Weiss once told me the bottom line is there's no discussion to be had. Why? Because that is not a malacha. If you ask somebody, what do you see going on in front of you right now? You're watching a child who's nursing, and you'd ask them, is a malacha going on? Now they'll say, what are you talking about? The kid is eating. This is the natural way that a child eats. That's not called a malacha. So once again, that fits into the general discussion of when an activity is being done on Shabbos. And the same result is coming about as when an actual malacha would be done. Do you classify that? Do you categorize it as a malacha? Or would you say, no, that's not a malacha, even though the same result is coming about, but what I'm doing right now is not a malacha. All I'm doing right now is eating. And therefore, anybody who would walk by would think that all I'm doing is eating and not performing malacha. That would be something that would relieve the problem and the concern of malacha itself. Take for a final example. I know I said final last time, but it's still another minute. So the Gemara Maseches Shabbos Ayin Dalet writes, we have a malacha of borer on Shabbos. You're not allowed to separate two things that are mixed all in together in one mixture. So you're not allowed to do borer. But one of the heterim that the Gemara gives is, if you're being borer ve'ochel miyad, if you're separating something, you're going to eat it right away. For example, you have a peanut that's inside of a shell, and you remove the shell and you take out the peanut. So why isn't that borer? You're separating two things that were together. How are you ever allowed to do that? How are you ever allowed to peel an orange? How can you open up a banana on Shabbos? Isn't that borer? Everything was mixed together and now you take it apart. So the Rishonim explained, the answer is yes. The same result is coming about. You are now having two separate items from something that was once one. But anybody you would ask right now, if I see somebody who's taking the peel off of a banana, or I see somebody who's shelling a peanut, they would say, oh, that person is engaged in the act of eating. They're not engaged in doing a malacha. And therefore the Rishonim say, that is a very defining characteristic that we should think about whenever we speak about malacha b'Shabbos. There are many malachas that we would say, perhaps the concern of the malacha is alleviated, and it is totally removed when it's being done kiderech achila, which gets back to our original point. Why is it that although the Rama says, like we said yesterday, you would not be allowed to cut that cake that says happy birthday on it because that would be a malacha of mochek. If that's true, how can I ever eat a cracker that says a word on it, that says the name of the company, the Lotus cracker? Why is that permissible? The answer is, there's a major difference. Cutting the cake might be considered a problem, like the Rama says, but eating that cake should not be a problem at all. Eating that cookie, that's called derech achila. And therefore, says the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, whenever you have something that's being done derech achila in this context, we would say that that relieves the concern of the malacha itself, and it now moves it to the general act of a person eating on Shabbos.